The following program is sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.
Mount Everest, the tallest mountain in the world, stretches miles above sea level and offers climbers an ultimate challenge. In 1953, Sir Edmund Hillary became the first known person to successfully scale the summit of Mount Everest, accompanied by his Sherpa, Tenzing Norgay, a native Himalayan guide who knows the mountainous terrain. It's a Sherpa's knowledge and experience that makes them invaluable. Some believe a man named George Mallory reached the summit of Everest decades before Hillary. Tragically, he did not make it down the mountain. In fact, the majority of deaths on Mount Everest occur not on the ascent, but on the descent. The distinct difference between these two men and their efforts is that Hillary had a guide, a Sherpa, who had the experience and knowledge of the terrain. At Protecting Your Retirement, Don Wales and his team are the experienced guides who can help you reach your financial summit and successfully complete your retirement journey. See how your retirement assets and retirement dreams can work hand in hand. And now, Protecting Your Retirement with your host, Don Wales.
Good morning and welcome to today's edition of Protecting Your Retirement Radio. We're here every Saturday, helping protect your retirement. We're here during the week also, but not on the air. And that is when we meet with people, listeners through the radio show, current clients, people who have been referred to us. And that's when we meet during the week face-to-face with these people who are interested in having a successful retirement journey in regards to the financial aspects of their retirement, making sure there is enough income that is guaranteed to last a lifetime. And we usually have that guarantee backed up by very large life insurance companies who issue policies of life insurance, fixed annuities, and in some cases, long-term care insurance. I'm Don Wales, your host, owner of Protecting Your Retirement. And with me every Saturday morning is really the star of the show, Joy Peterson. And Joy has a professional background in radio, but also has been learning a lot of what we do. And so that's a very valuable resource. And Joy was just telling us there's a big event coming in her family soon.
Yeah.
And her little girl is turning
nine. Yeah.
And getting her ears pierced.
Yep. And we're having a Harry Potter birthday party.
Okay.
As well. So that'll be fun. We've been making decorations and I gotta bake cupcakes though.
Yeah. So cool being around people who are more creative and arts and so forth. Anyhow, we're also, because of our occupation and where we fit into the financial services industry, so to speak, I get to be around people who are very successful in the insurance business and also people who are very good and well-known at keeping track of our industry, what is new, what is changing. We have frequently quoted a lady named Cheryl Moore, who does a lot of research and writes articles about the annuity world, both fixed and variable annuities. And we also know, and I've personally met several times, a gentleman named Jack Marion. He's out of St. Louis area. Jack Marion is author of an industry publication called Index Compendium, and he compares and tracks and does research on indexed annuities. And one of our favorite solutions for retirement, or strategies for retirement, rather, is using fixed indexed annuities. Jack is the expert, testifies, does lobbying. He's a research director for an organization I belong to, which is National Association of Fixed Annuities, and I've met him on lobbying trips, Capitol Hill visits, and as well as different conventions.
And that's one of the things that I like about working with Protecting Your Retirement and doing this show with you, Dawn, is it's not just about selling annuities to the clients that come in. It's also just what it says in the name of the show, Protecting Your Retirement. And part of that responsibility is making the trips to Washington, is talking with the lawmakers about what is best for people who are entering retirement.
Yes. You know, one time in particular, we went up and we did what we call a hill walk in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago, and we took a little different perspective, and at that particular time, we had no fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't trying to get Congress to do anything in particular other than to be aware of us and what we do and how we help people have successful retirement journeys. Anyway, we went in to each lawmaker that we met, and we had previously had some people break down the number of our clients with just one insurance company in each of their districts.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy to do by zip code and look at a database. And we went in and say, here, Congressman so-and-so or Congresswoman so-and-so. We looked at our database, and in your district we have 1,800 people that have maybe fixed index annuities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they're all smart people because they bought annuities, and I'm sure they're all smart enough to vote.
I'm sure they vote.
We didn't say that exactly. But anyhow, it was really amazing to hand them a pie chart of their district and little dots wherever we had a client, not by name, of course, because you can't reveal that. But anyhow, it made a point. And several of them said, well, what do you want today? I said, we don't want anything. We're not here with a proposed legislation. We're not here to fight one or amend one. At that time, we weren't mad at the Department of Labor and different administration. And anyhow, we said, we just want you, when you hear the word annuity, don't limit it to the ads on TV about how some guy that looks like a twin brother of Anthony Weiner says he hates him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know they were separated at birth. If you look at a picture of Ken Fisher and also one of Anthony Weiner, who's married to whoever, whatever her name is. Anyway, they look like twins. But anyhow, I might get in trouble for that one, but we're going to leave it in. Anyway, so anyway, we've got material by Jack Marion, and his article in July is Annuity Perspectives. He starts out with some really good points, and I think he made up a word, the unknowable of retirement modeling. And all retirement models, whether they are as simple as subtracting one's age from 100 or as cumbersome as creating a Monte Carlo simulation, they're all based on the assumption that there is a pattern to financial markets that allows us to predict future events. We're assuming that history will repeat itself. There are cycles that do seem to follow a pattern. The millennium bear market was predicted, at least by some, by seeing the market excesses of the late 90s and remembering that every time the market sears used the phrase, this time is different, a bear market follows. However, almost no one predicted a decade-long market shock that began in 1973 when OPEC raised the price of a barrel of oil by 10 times. Retirement models cannot predict the unpredictable, the so-called black swan events, and so the unpredictable is ignored. And last week alone, there were two articles explaining why the 8-year-old bull market would continue based on the belief that, quote, this time is different. There are other problems besides unpredictability. I'm reading almost a little bit of paraphrasing from Jack Marion because the guy's brilliant. Why not repeat and give him credit for it? Now, probably the best point he has is misunderstanding statistics. Too many investment professionals run future retirement scenarios based on the past and then say with a great deal of certainty that their retirement plan gives the average consumer an 80% probability that his or her money will last at least 30 years if they take out 5% a year. That is a guess, an assumption, and making people averages. The problem is 100% of people using this plan that retired back in 1973 and took out an inflation-adjusted 5% a year would have run out of money early, earlier than 30 years, 100%. But 0% of the people that retired in 1975, that was only 2 years later, and took out an inflation-adjusted 5% a year would have run out of money. The difference in you're retiring in 1973, 1975, using the same exact strategy that all of these pundits and financial services, quote-unquote, professionals recommend would be, you know, 100% to 0% probability, not probability, that it would have run out of money. And, you know, what the bottom line is, and I love this quote by Jack Marion, quote, a person isn't an average.
That is so true.
At protecting your retirement, a person isn't an average. Someone comes in and they might make a comment, well, if I live to 80 or if I live to 85 or I don't know how long I'll live, I just sit there fairly quietly and, you know, look at them. It's not a stupid comment. People are always trying to guess their longevity. The thing is, the programs we put together, the strategies we use, using products as simple as fixed annuities or fixed index annuities, have a guarantee of income as long as you live. There's no
guesswork.
The stopping point
right.
is when you stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not doing any simulations, scenarios, guessing on your longevity. We had an unusual amount of our clients passed away last year. Usually we have one about every other year passes away. We had seven in 1 year. One of them went out for a drive and got T-boned.
Oh.
And so
those are the things that are totally unpredictable.
Yeah. And so misunderstanding statistics and the unknowable of unknowable, I'm getting used to that word. I'm pretty sure it's new. Probably not in the dictionary, of retirement modeling are two things that we really have to watch out for. And we're going to come back right after a commercial break, and we're going to also talk about unrealistic expectations, a little bit about inflation. I'm not an economist, and, you know, I took the two classes, you know, macro and microeconomics, and that's about it. But I listened to Chris Butler a lot, and I learned a lot. So anyway, we'll talk about unrealistic expectations right after our commercial.
And if you want to set up that one-on-one appointment with Don and his team, talk about what you see in your financial future for your retirement. The number to call is 913-648-2700. The website, protectingyourretirement.com.
If Don Wales had a fleet of Protecting Your Retirement vehicles, most likely he would have Serve and Protect stenciled on the doors, just like you see on many police cars. Why? Because at Protecting Your Retirement, they see each individual as unique and deserving of personal service, and they protect your retirement assets by only recommending financial choices that have no stock market risk. Don Wells will protect you as you navigate your financial journey. For a complimentary retirement review, call 913-648-2700. That's 913-648-2700. Protecting Your Retirement will make sure your retirement dreams and retirement nest egg work hand in hand. If you are concerned about the stock market stealing your retirement nest egg, call those who serve and protect the team at Protecting Your Retirement. For a complimentary retirement review, call 913-648-2700. That's 913-648-2700. Or visit protectingyourretirement.com.
Kind of left off with the point that a person is not an average, and at Protecting Your Retirement, we take that seriously because the planning is personal. It's personal right. for the people who come in and sit down and talk to you.
Right. And some people come in with no expectations of all of what retirement's going to be like,
mm-hmm.
what the financial aspects are going to be. Some come in with unrealistic expectations. And a lot of those, I'm going to say, come from bloggers, pundits, people who really don't know a thing about finance or income predictions or how to produce income. But United States investors surveyed expect their investments to earn 8.5% a year after inflation. And that's from a CNBC article near the end of 2016. Let's assume that happens and inflation only averages 2% for the next umpteen years. This means a world of 10.5% gross returns. If we further assume that we want our investment to give us $40,000 a year and that a 4% withdrawal rate is sustainable, this means that today we would need $1 million. But let's say you have the million and you think it's going to grow 8.5% a year after inflation, 2% inflation. So simple math, you got to make 10.5. Now, however, inflation is 2%. That's a very historically low rate. So unrealistic expectations, thinking that we are always going to earn in double digits, it's really lunacy. Now, the knowable or the known is annuity. The article opened up saying the future is unpredictable, but there are a few exceptions. One predictable aspect is the consumer will die at some point. Life insurance provides a predictable source of funds that may be used to complete the model. Another is that the use of income annuities can introduce predictability to future income stream. I'd go beyond predictability, I'd say a guarantee, if it's a fixed annuity with a guaranteed income rider. A Monte Carlo model isn't the real world. A life income annuity solution is the real world. And annuities, whether life contingent, immediate annuities, or deferred annuities with guaranteed lifetime payouts, listen to this. The annuities offer a retirement income tool that does not rely on the past repeating, does not rely on an optimal mix in an investment portfolio, and does not require the individual to predict the date of their own death. All other scenarios or strategies either have to rely on the past repeating exactly, they have to rely on picking the right 40-60-60-40-20-10, whatever mix of investment portfolios, or they rely on you accurately naming the date of your death.
Mm-hmm.
It's only one way to do that, and it's not perfect either. So there are fixed index annuities that can and do every day guarantee income for life. Now, obviously, the more you put into the annuity contract, the more the income. But that is it. If you're very, very rich and have a lot of money, you're going to probably have more income. But even with wealth, you don't have a guarantee that your income will continue as long as you need it or continue and be there for a legacy. Now, we know that there are shortfalls in annuities. We cannot magically take $5,000 and make it $10,000. We can do it over time with a guaranteed rate of increase, but we can bring expectations back to earth. Now, all of that is interesting material that we've been covering so far today, but we want to bring in just a little bit of fun into the show.
We try.
We try. So here is the product idea that was discovered somewhere, and it is a beer annuity.
Yes.
We're not talking about bear, like bull or bear market.
Right.
We're talking about a beer, B-E-E-R, annuity.
This is out of Belgium, actually.
Yes.
And it's an interesting concept. I mean, I've heard of people saying, we'll work for beer. That's kind of how this works out. Apparently, there was a company that wanted to transport their beer from the plant where they make it to their bottling company.
It was 2 miles away.
Right, 2 miles away. And they wanted to do like a pipeline, kind of like an oil pipeline. But they just wanted to rush all the beer to where they bottle it.
Right.
So they offered people a chance to buy into this annuity to raise funds,
right,
which sounds pretty good. A lot of people do that on like Kickstarter, or there's
right,
other programs around where they offer people, hey, if you give us some money for an investment, we'll pay you back in something.
Right. So the brewery raised the necessary capital to build a pipeline by using an annuity as a kind of a unique form of crowdfunding.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of paying out in dollars or euros, the annuity is paid out in
beer.
And those annuity owners that paid a premium of $7,560 receive one bottle of beer a day for the rest of their life.
The rest of their life.
For a premium of only $1,000, the owner receives one case of beer a year for the rest of their life. Interest in the idea of creating a domestic beer annuity is now flowing through the United States.
No pun intended there.
Now,
right? Now I wonder, with the beer annuity that you get one daily, does that mean somebody shows up at your door every day?
Deliver, like, or do you have
just,
to go?
It's just waiting for you at the door when you come home from the
or
day.
Or can you kind of
hand you their beer?
Bank it and pick up 360 bottles, one time. Anyway, my question is, who guarantees this? And we know that it's guaranteed by a brewery, and we hope they stay in business mm-hmm. a very long time, not that we've invested in it. Our guarantees with the annuities that we recommend are backed up by very big insurance companies who are required to have adequate reserves on hand, reserves in money. Not in
beer.
Liquid reserves,
liquid
money. But anyhow, ours are backed up by large insurance companies. And usually there's also a feature that if you don't live very long, the leftover money in your fixed annuity contract will go to your heirs.
Yeah, there was no mention about whether your spouse or children get your beer annuity. That wasn't mentioned.
How old they would have to be if
that's
it's
that's true.
Anyway, maybe in Europe it's not that big a deal about age.
That's true.
Anyhow, we have another topic that this is more serious, and once in a while we have to do that too. Coping with less Social Security, widow income insurance is our topic. Now, a reality in retirement is that when one half of a married couple dies, the Social Security income for the survivor drops by the amount of the lesser benefit. We know that, and usually people listening to our program know that, but what's been found with research and roaming through various financial blogs last year, this is by Jack Marion, he found that this reduction in benefits seems to come as a big surprise to many new widows. They didn't know that their own Social Security check, which is usually the lesser of the two, stops. That money's not coming into the household anymore. Another insight gained was many of these widows were very angry that the newly deceased hadn't bought life insurance. Now, a very basic tenet in financial and retirement planning is that you look at that truth that when one dies, the amount of Social Security or railroad retirement coming into the household stops. Also, usually if that person had a pension, it stops or gets reduced. What we've done for decades and decades, maybe more, is to sell usually a man in the family or whoever the breadwinner happens to be a life insurance policy, and then when he or she passes away, the life insurance makes up, over a period of time, the lost income. And, we just do it all the time. Now, a lot of people don't do that. Either they don't know about it, they're medically unable to buy life insurance, or they're just wanting to live for the day, spend everything that comes in, don't put any into insurance. And when we come back from our next break, we're going to talk about some typical rates of premium to purchase life insurance. And we have an example that Jack worked up for us that we'll go through. And again, our primary business is recommending fixed and fixed index annuities, but we also, of course, handle life insurance as part of protecting your retirement.
And even long-term care insurance.
Yes, we do.
So if you want to come in and talk to Don and the team at Protecting Your Retirement, the number to call is 913-648-2700. The website, protectingyourretirement.com. I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. It's going to be a bright. Welcome back to Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wells, and we do appreciate you spending part of your Saturday with us. We know it gets busy on the weekends. Matter of fact, I've got a birthday party to go to as soon as the show's over, but we would like you to come in and sit down when you have a little bit more time. We throw a lot of information out in a very short amount of time. So if you have questions or a comment about something you heard on the radio, feel free to make that phone call, which is 913-648-2700. We were talking about widow benefits.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that if they are married and they're getting two incomes through Social Security, when one of the two passes away, they only get the higher amount.
That's correct.
And the lower amount goes away.
Right. And Jack Marion, who we've been quoting all day, he found that the cost to provide a life-only immediate annuity income of $10,000 a year for a woman age 67 was about $160,000. And that would mean that essentially if the couple has a spare $160,000 lying around, they could use that to give her $10,000 a year of income, assuming age 67, and it would replace the Social Security reduction. But easier to do than to buy a life-only immediate annuity, which would not be a good idea because the income would stop, you know, when she passes away. One way to generate $160,000 check is through life insurance. And if you do that with single premium life, just make one big premium payment, it would cost about $80,000 in premium. If you do it with permanent insurance protection, whole life, universal life, costs about $2,200 a year. Or if you do it with temporary or term insurance to the husband's advanced age, be about $1,800 a year. Now, all of those are a lot less than stashing $160,000, assuming that you even had it.
Right.
And say, well, that'll take care of mom until she passes, and then you might have that mom that gets interviewed by the newspaper for being the oldest American living,
mm-hmm.
you know, at 110 or 20 or whatever it is. So life insurance is not a perfect solution. It is medically underwritten. The younger you buy it, it's going to be the better. If you have a person that you need to get insured, they already have medical problems, the cost is going to be a lot higher. So we can help with that, and we have several really well-known, really good life insurance companies. Some of them are more lenient with the underwriting, which means they also charge more premium, but we know the mix. So ideally, couples begin widow planning before retirement. At age 55 or 60, the life insurance premium is a lot smaller and more likely his or her health is in better shape in the 50s and 60s. So we just wanted to share that, and then we'll give only one more economics tidbit. For an American male baby boomer born in 1945, we're going to call that the Tier 1 baby boomers,
because mm-hmm. we want to separate
baby boomers into two categories, tier one and tier two. We'll talk about that again soon. An American male born in 1945, the median lifetime income was about $47,000 a year, with half making more, half making less, in 2017 dollars. For an American male born closer to the end of the boomer age, in 1958, the median lifetime income was about $40,000 a year. This is less. What this means is the younger age median boomer made $175,000 less over their lifetime than the older one. And it's a thing about the clock and more time to build up money.
The interesting part about it is it switches for women.
Yeah.
Because I think mainly, and it even states in the article, that the tier one baby boomers, there wasn't as much of an opportunity for a lot of those women to work, or they didn't have jobs that paid as much than the tier two baby boomers, who had a little bit more availability to work and more job opportunities.
Right. So as men saw their income falling, women's incomes were rising. A woman born in 1945 had median lifetime income of $20,000, while a woman born in 1958 averaged $23,000, $3,000 difference. That's a big income, and again, used to be due to women being paid less, but due to occupations available or selected by women during the period, or some other reasons. So again, when you hear baby boomers and you hear it described as a 19-year-long generation, we really want to try to be the leaders, whatever, the ones to try to realistically break that down into the two tiers.
Well, and that's where having a personal plan for their retirement is different, because someone who's in tier one has a different retirement journey than someone who's in tier two.
Right. And they still have raising family obligations, maybe. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other tier, the top tier, tier one, the ones born right after World War II up to, let's say, the early 50s, are in totally different stage of life right now.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more coming up in the program. But what do you do with your time when you retire? I think that's a big question for a lot of people. And maybe part of the reason why people are waiting longer to retire, because it's like, well, what do I do? I've got all this time on my hands.
Yeah, it sounds really magical. It's a true fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Not the money part of it, but the activity part of retirement. And you know, if you saved your money, you did your homework, you're okay financially, you bid goodbye to your desk, your coworkers, the cafeteria crew, the parking lot attendants. Hey, why don't we have all this?
No.
We have the company cafeteria next door to our studio. It's vending.
Yes.
Anyway, there's no cafeteria lady with a net over her hair. Anyway, you head out the door, then what do? And most of the retirement planning, obviously what we do, focuses on the money side of the equation, and not to diminish that value. We think we're very important to you. But, you know, there's a lot of questions, and some of it comes, unfortunately, divorce and retirement. The rate of divorce in those over age 55 with at least 25 years of marriage, and I believe that's 25 years of marriage to the same person, the rate of divorce in those over 55, married at least 25 years, is dramatically increasing, and it has done that since the 1990s. It's attributed in this article mostly because the partners in the marriage have been so busy in their own lives, they forgot to plan for the amount of time they'd be together as they face the next 20 years of their lives. And the most often phrase used to describe this is, quote, "Who is that sitting across from me at the breakfast table?"
You know, yeah. I I used to watch Oprah when she was on. Not all the time. I wasn't like a diehard fan, but, you know, I'd watch some of her shows. And there was a lady who was on there, and she got all kinds of beat up and hate mail and everything like that because she said that her husband was more important than her children when it came to their lives, that her marriage was the most important thing and the children came second.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the divorce rate, especially after the children leave the house.
Right.
You've been so focused on that it was the same question. Who is this sitting across a breakfast table from me? And when people don't make that a priority, when you get to retirement and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, okay, now what?
Right. There's a book out, by the way, and it's called Retirement Planning for Couples. Volunteering is one thing, and if you can discuss your interest without the belief that you have to do it all together, you might find a very exciting and rewarding life apart and together. There are volunteer causes you've probably always wanted to be involved in, and then you have time to do it. Spiritual life, has that been nothing more than a casual hour or two a week without really engaging in something meaningful? You can find some work within your religious preferences that would yield some measurable results that you can feel good about. I know one of our clients, a single female, volunteers at a gift shop at, I think I'm using the right word, near the synagogue that the family belongs to, and does that maybe one or two days a week. And does retirement really have to translate into full-time leisure? That would become a full-time job. So also there are numerous adult education opportunities. I know we're in Johnson County, Kansas. Joy lives in Wyandotte. Both have really excellent college programs, colleges present.
Community colleges.
Community colleges, and they have organizations that are designed for people in their probably 50-plus age range.
I know
a lot of stuff to do.
The Kansas City, Kansas Community College opened up a new like tech education center, and one of their things is the culinary department, and they offer all kinds of different culinary classes, which someday when I have spare time, maybe when I retire, I would like to do.
And, you know, speaking of health, how about a gym membership you promised yourself you would use? And might be time to dust off the sneakers, get on the elliptical, meet some interesting people who are not constantly checking themselves out in the mirrors. And I work out with a personal trainer once a week, and I try to get in the gym a couple more times without the trainer and use what I learned. But anyhow, I see that. And the gym I go to is not loaded up with a whole bunch of young millennials or, you know, preteens or whatever. But there are one or two people that I notice whenever they come in, they're doing all of their exercises right in front of the wall that is covered with mirrors. And I think, oh, well. I try to avoid the mirror when I'm exercising.
That's what I was just thinking myself.
So,
no matter what your retirement journey is, what you would like to see when you get to that stage in life, whether it is cutting back on work or, you know, maybe living a life of leisure, who knows? The question shouldn't be, will I run out of money? And that's what we can help you with at Protecting Your Retirement. The number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. We talked about the baby boomers and being split into Tier 1 and Tier 2. We're going to go a little more in depth on that, on Protecting Your Retirement.
Hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
Any good mail today?
Oh, yes. We got an invite for free dinner at that new restaurant.
Oh, what's the deal?
We gotta watch some guy in a fancy suit with a big watch tell how their plan just perfectly fits our situation. Hey, talking about retirement planning, have you called that guy with the radio show, Don Wales? He'll sit down with us in private to see how his firm can help us meet our goals.
Not yet, but I'll get right on it. I have his number here. While I'm doing that, why don't you make reservations at that new restaurant? You know, just the two of us, a little wine, a good meal. And
what?
How about you and I discuss our financial goals? We can skip the group therapy or the free dinner seminars, and we can dress up in our own best clothes.
You are so romantic.
Tired of free meal seminars that turn into endless pressure to accept one-size-fits-all solutions? call Don Wales at Protecting Your Retirement. You can arrange a private visit where Don's team will be listening to you, helping establish your goals and help you navigate a successful retirement journey. 913-648-2700.
This is Protecting Your Retirement. I am Joy Peterson along with Don Wales, and we're here every Saturday to give you some information when it comes to navigating that retirement journey. And we've talked a little bit today, and we talk a lot about the baby boomer generation because those are the ones who are actively entering retirement. Like thousands a day are saying, take this job, maybe not shove it, but you know, they're entering retirement. But there's a large span of the baby boomer generation. We were talking earlier today about breaking them up into tier one and tier two, because the people who are in that later part of the baby boomer generation may not be – I mean, they're not as close to the retirement.
They're not as close. They're thinking about it, but they're still doing a lot of things that are pre-retirement activity, or at least they should be, raising your children and – that should be something you do before retirement, not
unless you're just like really, really good at what you do and you've collected a lot of money and you retire at 35 or something crazy like that. Most of us will never experience that.
Now that we're retired, let's have a family.
Right. Well, maybe. You never
but
know.
Anyhow, you know, the leading boomers, the ones that are right now crossing the age of 65, leading boomers, and I'm quoting from some demographic work done by Mr. Marston, and I don't have the man's first name, I'm sorry, but anyway, Mr. Marston. Leading boomers are those who started crossing the threshold of 65 6 years ago. They have led a mostly charmed life. As a generation, they experienced the summer of love, the 60s, the first moon landing.
Which the anniversary was just earlier this month.
Right.
Yeah.
The first moon landing, the fall of the Soviet Union, and the long-running bull stock market. So it's no wonder they believe anything is possible, crediting hard work for their accomplishments. They sometimes are not aware how exceptionally well the system worked for them. And the term workaholic was invented for this group of boomers who believe one's work ethic should be visible. In other words, if you're not sending emails at 4 a.m., you're not working that hard.
Oh, goodness.
So, but anyway, as a result of their labors, and we're talking about the boomers maybe born between 1945 and the early to mid-50s, as a result of their labors, they felt entitled to tangible rewards of their success, a big house, an expensive car, ultimate toys for themselves and their kids. And now as they move toward or into retirement, Mr. Marston said, they're beginning to value time and experiences more than things. And that some of them, unfortunately, they're still under a lot of stress. With the children typically out of the nest, they ought to be free to wrap up their work lives, transition harmoniously to retired life. However, many are still burdened with debt, from mortgages to credit cards to education loans, leaving them anxious about maintaining their lifestyle amid a wobbly economy and a high-priced stock market. So we're describing, again, the what I'm going to call a tier one baby boomers, the first half of what is traditionally described as the baby boomer generation. I've seen it lasting from 1945 to 1964, and I think we really need to. And Mr. Marston is where I'm getting my incentive, not my incentive or my encouragement from in trying to put that into two tiers. And
well, and the second tier is a little bit different. They're the ones who are buying second homes. They may be downsizing that second home because the kids are just now packing off and heading out to college.
Right.
They probably still have another 15 years of work left.
Right.
You know, so they're not quite at the same place. And because of the difference in the work time, they may not have acquired as much for their retirement as the tier one baby
right.
boomers.
They're still accumulating and not trying to live on what has already been accumulated, set up. Also less likely to have a pension. Now, it's become clear to the tier one boomers that they should have done more. There's a study by Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies noting 3/4 of the tier one boomers wish they'd saved more and on a more consistent basis. And if we can show them that working together with an advisor, we may be of help showing them how to remain independent. So that's kind of a more description of tier one than tier two, although Joy talked about the what we describe as tier two baby boomers. Now, point that I really want to make is we can take people based on when they were born and put them in a baby boomer, a 19-year period of time. We can break it out into two tiers, or maybe even someone will come along and, you know, refine it a little more. That is grouping. That is taking people based on when they were born and putting them in a group. Okay.
We already talked about the fact that a person is not an average.
Exactly.
Right.
And the other thing I want to make really clear is that in our minds, when we meet with people, it's usually one-on-one, face-to-face, or part of our team with a couple. And we really like that if we have both sides of the couple present. But they are still someone, and the emphasis on one. No matter what group people...
Demographics.
Or,
yeah.
Whatever group they put you in, when you cross the door, the threshold, into protecting your retirement, you are still someone,
mm-hmm.
one. And our planning is personal. We always meet face-to-face with our prospective clients. We try to meet face-to-face often with our existing clients through doing annual reviews or more frequent contact as different lifestyle changes come about, different ages are attained. We like to contact people that we know are turning 59 or turning 70. We like to contact all of our clients every time there's an annual report or a preliminary annual report coming along and have a chat. We like that in person, but a lot of times we end up doing that on the telephone and occasionally through email. But you are one when you're in contact with us. And even though you might be a tier one or tier two baby boomer, maybe tiers to you are spelled T-E-A-R because retirement is some scary thing out there. But we really do emphasize the personal service.
And going along with that, you don't have to be a baby boomer. You could be a Gen Xer. You could be a millennial. If you
right.
care about making sure that you've got the funds that you need to have a enjoyable retirement, then come in and sit down. You can ask questions, see what it is you want to do, and it's never too early to start saving.
Yeah, we have some clients that are in their late 20s, early 30s, generally fairly successful young people. They are maximizing at least what they can in their 401k or maximizing so that they get the most of the free money from the employer match.
The match funds,
I mean,
yes.
Turning away free money is really stupid.
Right.
I don't care whether you got an MBA or PhD. If you're working somewhere and you have a 401 or a 403 with a match and you don't participate up to the amount of that match where you get free money from your employer, that's just stupid. And anyhow, we have younger clients. We have some that come in their 80s and they want that fixed indexed annuity idea. And there are a few companies that we can do that with, and because they're in their 80s, but they're still looking forward. I'm going to talk about a man is not one of our clients. He doesn't even live in the U.S., who is 92 years of age and still working. And it's not because he has to. The guy's a billionaire. And he's coming up with new ideas and new stuff to do well after age 65. But when people come in, they often say, how much income do I need to create? What will it take to do that? And we work from an income versus budget perspective with almost every client. We look at what your budget might be in retirement. We pad it because you've always forgot about something. And then we look at what your guaranteed sources of income are. And usually a big part of that is Social Security. And then we look at what is a gap. Is there a gap? And then we look at the assets like 401ks, homes, and other assets and say, okay, how are we going to fill that gap so that you'll have enough money to have that successful retirement journey? So it's all about income. It's not so much about age or guessing how long you're going to live. I've mentioned a few times on the show, I have already outlived my dad by 20 years. I'm still short of my mom by 19 years. So what do I do on average? I just rather plan and have a good budget and go forward not knowing which day is the last.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you would like to come in and talk to Don and his team, the number to call is 913-648-2700, the website protectingyourretirement.com. That's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday. I hope you have a wonderful week. We will see you next week on Protecting Your Retirement.
The preceding program was sponsored by Protecting Your Retirement.